Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We're going to begin this next segment with a question. What's so funny about Muslims? Well, it depends on who you're talking about. But if you're Dean Obadallah and Nagin Farsad, two Muslim American comedians, it turns out there's a lot to laugh about.
They've made a new documentary called The Muslims Are Coming. It follows them and several other Muslim American comedians across the U.S., mostly through the Deep South, where they perform, they tell jokes, and they encounter deeply ingrained anti-Muslim attitudes.
Here's how the documentary begins.
By the way, the last three dozen terrorists to attack Americans on airplanes have looked amazingly identical.
Make no mistake about it, Islam is a violent religion.
These are young, angry terrorists who want to kill you, and they want to kill me, and you know it. Stop with the PC crap.
They had the identical skin color, eye color, hair color. Half of them were named Muhammad.
Every single butterball turkey sold in the United States of America has been sacrificed to Allah.
Clearly that last point is the most troubling of all. So the film begins with that audio montage from some of our favorite commentators. The Muslims Are Coming opens tonight at the Somerville Theater. It's directed by and stars comedian Dean Obadallah and Nagin Farsad, who join us now. And welcome, Dean and Nagin. Great to have you in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
So obviously a lot of laughs in this film. You guys are both really funny, but it's also serious and somewhat troubling for the attitudes that you reveal out there. But first, I'll start with you, Dean. Tell us what inspired you to make this film. What was the idea behind it?
We wanted to do something where we could lose a lot of money. spend years of our lives and really have not much to show for it at the end. So we're like, what can we do? Let's make a documentary where we delusionally will think we can change the world. We have specific reasons why, and it's addressed in the film. But I think collectively, the reason is there's a point in time where your group, whatever the ethnicity they might be, religion, background, sexual orientation, whatever it might be, is demonized and attacked so much that you're like, I have to do something about it. Mm. And perhaps this film won't change the world, but I can assure you, sitting in my apartment in New York will not do anything. So we said, let's do something, and let's do free comedy shows so we can meet people across the South and the West. Not that because we think bigotry only resides there. It's alive and well in New York City where we live as well. But do something along the line using our skill set, which is comedy, make people laugh, and maybe somehow connect with people. And that was our goal.
Although, I have to disagree with you, Dean. I kind of think that by the end of the run in Boston, Islamophobia will be over. That's what I'm predicting.
Yeah.
So that's how we're changing the world. Boston, it's up to you now.
Well, let's listen to some of the stand-up you do that's featured in this film, and we'll hear from both of you. But here's a bit from you, Dean, about differing biases in America towards blacks and Muslims. Here we go.
You're alone on the street. Four black guys woke up just like Barack Obama. You're not worried at all. Four black guys woke up just like G-Unit. Maybe you're concerned. You see four Arab guys in a deli in Nashville. You don't care. You see four Arab guys about to board your flight speaking Arabic to each other. You then run up to the black guy you used to be afraid of for protection. Say, shizzle my nizzle, it might be a terrorism.
That's really funny. That's Dean Obadallah from the movie The Muslims Are Coming. It also stars Nagin Farsad. And Nagin, it seems like one of the things that you're doing out there is making a pretty simple point. Muslim Americans, you guys are normal people. You're not all sort of wacko jihadists bent on destroying the Western world and imposing Sharia law. Seems like a simple enough message, but I was struck by how many people out there needed to hear that.
Yeah, it's really surprising. It's not really surprising considering how much media we get about Muslims. And the media we get is basically Muslims are these like dusty dudes walking around the desert with AK-47s, right? They don't have very much to do with their time except for be super violent. And that's the image that we have. We have image of women not speaking and not having rights and not doing anything. And so that if that's all you're getting in the, you know, in mainstream media and film film and television, and in really fun and heart-pounding storylines on Homeland and other popular shows, which I totally watch and I'm obsessed with, you are going to think bad things about Muslims. That's just the way it's natural, if that's all the information you're getting. So part of the thing we really wanted to do is show, like, okay, there happens to be maybe a couple of other types of Muslims outside of the AK-47 wielding ones.
At least two of you, anyway.
A couple of other ones. And sometimes they wear just adorable outfits.
That
would be me. Thank you. I'm tooting my own horn there. I'm tooting my own horn. Sometimes they go bowling. Many times they're very bad at bowling. And
in fact, we saw that in the film.
Exactly.
Yeah. Again, tooting my own horn. Not to brag, I'm a terrible bowler. But you know, and those are the kinds of things we really think that America needs to see Muslims doing. Just really normal stuff, because we almost never see that. So that's the revolutionary thing, I think, that we're trying to do, is just to show how totally normal we are.
You know, there's a great, there are a bunch of great scenes in this film, and I haven't yet done the film justice, because it features you guys doing stand-up, which is worth seeing, but it also shows you interacting in really interesting ways with the world out there. And at one point in the film, I think you're in Georgia, you set up an Ask a Muslim a Question booth.
Yes.
So here's a bit of that.
Do you have any questions about Islam? Not to join, just about us. We're not trying to get you to join.
Why do some Muslim women look like you,
all right,
and some Muslim women you can't tell who they are?
Okay.
They could rob a bank and you couldn't identify.
You wouldn't be able to identify. That's a really good question. The choice of whether or not to cover yourself is completely a personal choice.
Well, you're dressed like an American.
Yeah. I am an American. Yeah, and I'm American Iranian.
You know, there's only one kind of American, and that's American. Right. My ancestors are from Holland, but I don't claim to be a Dutch American.
Right.
I'm an American American.
Right.
To me, if you want to be a part of this country, you just got to be a part of it.
American American.
Special type of American.
Yeah, that's a special kind of American.
I guess that would be an American Indian. American ones that were here originally, but unless you're an American Indian, you are from someplace else in this country. And that's the challenge. You know, the thing about down south, and that man was not hateful in any way, but many of the people down the south have been there for generations and generations. So to them, they're not as in touch with their ethnicity as we are up here in the north. My dad's not from the country. My grandparents are from Sicily on my mother's side. Mm. And my dad's Palestinian, born in the West Bank in the Middle East. So I'm grow up with people who have accents. I'm used to everyone being ethnic. You're all somebody, something. You go down south, it's much more like we've been here for generations. We're just white Americans, generally the ones we talk to. Mm-hmm. And for them, somehow by being hyphenated, we're less American, which to me makes no sense, because we are still a melting pot. I don't care what some people might think. America still is that dynamic melting pot, certainly up in Northeast, New York, where we live, Boston, Chicago, the bigger cities. So it's just changing a narrative for certain people. That's all. They're not being
really
hateful.
It's interesting because, you know, I grew up in Palm Springs, California, the way most people do. And my high school was about, I want to say, 55% Mexican. And so hyphenation was just a part of just every, I mean, you was constant and everyone had some sort of hyphenation. And it wasn't even a question. So it is really interesting to see that's questioned. And again, I think it's a part of exposure. If you're not around it, you're not around it.
You know, I was really curious in that exchange with that gentleman in Georgia, where he's talking about there's only one kind of American, an American American. That's where that scene ended. I'm sort of curious where that exchange went, Nagin.
I just said to him, well, you know, it's hard for me to disassociate myself from being Iranian, because I spoke two different languages at home. I had a whole different set of rules. Every time my mother calls, it's a different language. I cook different things as a result of being their kid. So, I mean, I think if you grew up in my shoes, you'd feel the same level of connection that I do. And he was just like, maybe, you know what I mean? Ended like that. But again, these were nice interactions. Right. We wanted people to feel open and feel comfortable asking us questions. We handed out pastries and candy at these Ask a Muslim booths. That's how much we wanted to make people feel comfortable.
And people ate them. Who would eat food from random Muslims on the streets of anywhere? I wouldn't eat it. Forget Muslims. I don't care if you're Jewish or Christian. You hand out random food, I'm not going to eat you. But Nagin is selling herself short. She talked to that guy, and by the end, he converted to Islam. That's a good. That's how amazing Nagin is. So.
I'm really amazing. I'm really good. Guys.
He's one of the first Dutch American Muslims.
Yeah. Probably are a handful. He's up. He's the leader now.
Now there's a. You quote a bunch of other people. A bunch of other people show up in your film, including Jon Stewart. There was a. I thought a really poignant quote from the TV journalist Soledad O'Brien, and I'm going to just quote her. She said, "To constantly prove that you are the model minority is existing." And I'm just wondering if you guys
exhausting.
Feel that
it's
way.
Exhausting.
What did I say? I meant to say exhausting.
Existing, but
sorry,
you said that.
Exhausting is what
more
I meant to say.
Existential read.
Yeah,
on it.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is exhausting. Does this sort of exhaust you? This mission that you've been on.
It
I mean, does it basically say we're normal people, folks?
Let me just say one brief thing, because after the Boston Marathon bombing, and I write a weekly column for CNN, I wrote an article because of what I found on this tour for 2 years, over 2 years ago, that many Americans have not heard Muslims denounce terrorism. So I wrote an article plainly and clearly that I'm Muslim and I despise terrorists. And I hate the Boston terrorists. I hate the fact that they're Muslim and they tarnish our faith. To me, they're not Muslims. They're murderers. It's that simple. They're not Islamic terrorists. They're terrorists. So, you know, Soledad's point is well taken, that you're tired of saying, I denounce terrorists, I denounce terrorists, I denounce terrorists. But, you know, if somehow if it makes some young Muslim American's life a little bit easier in this country and less harassment, because I say and I make it clear that I might be a leader of the Muslim American community on some level because of the arts, that I despise these terrorists. They do not represent us. We are not the exception, Nagin and I. They're the exception to our faith. And I think that's something that we have to go out and say. And I know there's a flip side, and it's in the movie where Asif Mandi from The Daily Show says, why do I have to denounce terrorists? I don't know these guys. I've had no connection to these crazy people. And there's a diversion. There's a split in our community about what you should do.
Yeah.
And I feel both sides of it. But if it makes someone's life easier, I will denounce it sincerely and emphatically as you know, as strongly as possible.
It is exhausting, and it's funny because it's like it just doesn't work the other way around. You never meet someone who's white and like, oh, do you have a taste for cannibalism because of Jeffrey Dahmer? You know what I mean? Or whatever. And how do you like that reference from the 90s? Thank you. But you know that kind of thing just doesn't, it does never happen in the reverse. It only happens for certain race, ethnic, and religious groups. So I don't, you know, the double standard is also exhausting, not just the doing it and the having to prove it all the time. But the double standard is just certainly exhausting.
You did some genius things in this movie.
Thank you.
No, seriously.
Thank you. No, please keep saying it. I should have interrupted.
You're correct.
There's another scene in Birmingham, Alabama. You played Name That Religion. You set up a table and you read quotes from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. And let me just see if I have one here. Oh, yeah. Okay, so, quote, if you work on the holy day, you should be put to death. Does that come from the New Testament, the Old Testament, or the Quran? And you ask people.
And we gave out prizes.
And they all got it wrong.
They all got it wrong. Because that quote comes from the Old Testament.
The Old Testament. And people don't realize how many crazy things are in all of the major religious texts.
Yeah, here's another one.
They assume it's in the Quran.
Which holy book stipulates that a woman who does not bleed on her wedding night shall be stoned to death?
Bingo.
Everyone you spoke to said, of course, the Quran
because of the record on the cultural record in some countries on gender.
As if, you know, in a way, some people think Muslims invented the idea of stoning. No, it actually comes from the Old Testament. Mm. You know, they borrowed it. And what it did show is preconceptions of people as they answered each question. Anything about violence or sexist, they'd go Quran, Quran, Quran. And don't get me wrong, you could find things in the Quran about that, but no one has looked back and go, well, the Old Testament has certain troubling things, the New Testament has. It's really about the practice of the faith, not the literal word, although some follow the literal word, they're the exception.
One of your stops along the way was in Tucson, Arizona, and Nagin, I want to play a clip from part of a set that you did. Here, let's listen.
That's the thing about, like, you know, sex and sexual issues with among Iranians and Muslims in general. I feel like they're so closed off about them that they don't even know the appropriate language to communicate. I mean, like, can you imagine President Ahmadinejad doing a public service campaign on safe sex? Right? He'd be like, do new 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 practice safe intergender flatulation and destroy Israel. Boo new new new.
So that's Nagin Farsad from the movie The Muslims Are Coming. And now, Nagin, in that scene, a group of Muslim women actually leave the show at that point. Right?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Well, and it's funny because you guys tactfully did not play the setup to that joke, which is me telling my mom that I have an STD, and I won't talk about it because it's inappropriate for your audiences. But it.
I think you just did talk about it.
Not in the detail.
Not in the way that I talked about it on stage. But come to the movie. I'll have a good time. So they left during that part of the joke that gets like minorly graphic. Mm. And I think, you know, it didn't make me feel good, obviously. No one likes to. There were 500 people in that audience. It was a really big house. And yet, there was only maybe 15 people that got up and left. And they made a show out of it, and it was very noticeable. Mm. But it still, you know, it hurt a lot, even though they were in a total minority. It hurts. But I'm not going to pretend like, you know, Muslims are great on gender. And as I say in the movie, we're not always great on this issue. Culturally, there's some issue that we have to deal with how we think of women in Islam, and how that's come to pass in the practice of it in different regions. But that said, I think I would equally offend conservative Jews, conservative Catholics, conservative Christians. I'd like to think of myself as an equal opportunity offender.
So that is Nagin Farsad and Dean Obidala. They're the directors and the stars of the new documentary, The Muslims Are Coming. It opens tonight at the Somerville Theater. It runs through next Thursday. And Dean and Nagin will be at tonight's screening for a Q&A. And I understand there's still some tickets left for the 7 o'clock show.
7:30. It's almost sold out, literally less than 10.
And 10 o'clock. Some left for the 10 o'clock, so come on out.
Come on, say hi to her. Hug a Muslim.
Come out and hug a Muslim. Thank you both very, very much.
Thanks for having us.
That's it for today. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Have a great weekend. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.